That's what we call future awareness. And what I loved about what you said is I speak about future awareness in terms of time. Like, what do you have that might be going on tomorrow or a week from now or even 6 months from now for our older students that you need to focus on?
Family life is essential. Jim and I are on a mission to help you live the best one. You'll hear personal stories from thought leaders of strengths and struggles with proven strategies to help you make the most of your 18 summers. I'm your co-host, Jamie Shields.
Hello, 18 Summers Tribe. We have a special guest here today, Leslie Josell. She is an incredible resource for our families, and I'm excited for you to hear more about her. Welcome, Leslie.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Good to see you. Yeah. I want all of the listeners to know some of the amazing things that you've already done, from founding Order Out of Chaos. And the beauty of Order Out of Chaos is that it was born out of your parenting your own children, right?
Yes.
Which is so beautiful. So often our gifts come from our own pain.
Oh, I love how you said that. Yes, that's exactly it. Or I think we're all very good about saying, what's missing in the world? Mm. What can I find? And if I can't find it, I'm just going to go create it myself.
It's very proactive of you. And I know that thousands and thousands of families are so grateful for that. You have your third book out now, How to Do It Now, because it's not going away.
Yeah. Yes. On procrastination for students. So I think when you hear that title, you know exactly what it is. It's a book basically geared to teens and college students. But I'm finding parents are reading it going, I'm learning so much specifically about why their students are procrastinating the way they do.
Yes, I read your PDF. And then as soon as I finished this morning, I went ahead and ordered our teens 2 copies of it. It'll be here on Saturday, you know, magic, you know, Amazon Prime. But I'm really excited for them to try that. And I'll tell you, the opener of your son, Eli, I think it said, if it's a good time to do something, it's a good time to not do something.
So am I allowed to tell you just the 2-second like quick story about that quote? It's
an option.
So because again, this is the out of the mouth of babes.
Yeah.
So the book had been written. I had, you know, sent my first draft to my publisher and we were away on vacation and my family jokes about what I do. So my husband goes, you know, mom wrote a book, because of course they knew. And just out of the blue, he goes, any opportunity to do something, I want to set it right, is also an opportunity not to. And I'm like, that's it. Like, that's the way the book has to start, because that's exactly like that kind of mindset is what takes you guys on this, particularly teens and students, the journey of like, which direction do I go? So, and you know, that was like the perfect way. So I did not plant it. He just said it and it became the, like the launch pad, so to speak. So I'm so happy it resonated with you, because it seems to be resonating with so many. So thank you.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, it grabbed me straight away. I thought, oh, that's so, and it's even me, even though the book is toward the students, it really did grab me, because I used to think procrastination was my superpower, that if I procrastinated long enough, then I got this giant wind at my back to just take care of it all at once. Mm-hmm. And I think those with ADHD or any other learning difference, I would also include entrepreneurial skills in there. Like, I feel like entrepreneurs are excellent procrastinators. Mm-hmm. And I think we all tend to think, oh, well, it'll just encourage me to do it later, better. Faster,
closer. Yes, that adrenaline rush will be there when that deadline is like right in your face. Absolutely.
You're also one of the world's top time management experts for 2020. Congratulations.
Thank you. I love talking about time so much, because it's the one thing we all have the same amount of, no matter who we are, no matter how old we are. And what I think is so fascinating about time, and I know this is not what we need to talk about, but what's so fascinating about time, and I think this is really for parents to like key in on, is as invisible as it is, it's all consuming. It's omnipresent. It's everywhere. And so my party line always is that if you cannot see your time, doesn't matter if you're an adult or a child, you can't learn to manage it. And that's the aha moment for a lot of parents. It's like, oh, you're right. Like, if your child cannot see time, then we cannot, there should be no expectation that they will be able to learn to manage it, particularly because time is invisible. So that's been like my big, like, I don't know, we could go on forever. And I know you have other things you want to chat with me about, but my other big thing is the more you can externalize time, the more you will internalize it. So analog clocks, calendars, timers, anything that puts time, makes time visible will help you or your student internalize it.
Making time visible. That's so great. Because when you say, if you can't see it, then you can't use it. You can't harness it if it's not visible and tangible. So what are some tools? Because I think that's super powerful right now. I even find with our own children, even though they've been homeschooling for years, now that we're in this different type of homeschooling, I guess you could say, things are still different. They're not seeing their tutors face to face. They're doing it virtually. So there's just so many things that even though they're homeschooled, it's still different. I'm finding they're trying to sleep in later. I'm finding they're trying to watch a movie every night instead of just on the week. It feels a little loosey-goosey because...
The time has become muddy. Because of like how you might be possibly living. So I'm going to try to break this down because when I do this, I think it is, as you said, it's super powerful. And I love talking about time because of that reason. So my number one thing is what I like to say to parents is, again, if your child can't see their time, it's the equivalent of being on a boat in the middle of the water and there's no horizon around them. They will feel unmoored. Right. And again, I'm speaking about students, but trust me, every adult says the same thing. I'm a student coach.
It resonates for me as well.
Totally. When I give these conversations to like even, you know, companies and their employees, it's the first thing we talk about is where do you know where you sit in time all day, every day? Because if you don't, it is the equivalent of being literally on a boat in the middle of the water with no horizon around you. You're untethered. You're unmoored. So that's the first visual. So how do we do that? So most people would say, I have a digital. I can look at my time, right? No, because if I said to you, I want you to tell me what time it is on your, you can tell time. Yes, it's maybe 9:30. But if I asked you to show me, what does 10 minutes from now look like? What does 20 minutes ago look like? You can't show that to me on a digital because digital only gives you one time and that's the present. What you want in every room of your house that your students spend time in is an analog clock. And I don't know if you can see it in my, there it is. Because what your student needs to see is the sweep of time. You got to remember, time is three-dimensional. Time has a beginning, middle, and end. Time has a future. So when you want your child to organically, remember what I said, if you externalize time, you can internalize it. If you want your child to feel time, they need to see it move. They need to see what 15 minutes from now looks like or 20 minutes because they need to feel tethered to something. So I have parents hang analogs in every room of the house that your child spends time in, including the bathroom. It's funny. It's where we tend to miss a clock, but where do our kids spend the most time?
Interesting. Oh,
if we have older students, they tend to be in the bathroom a lot, right?
Yeah.
Now, here's other one great way, great point to look at, because I think this will really bring the point home, particularly right now with what's going on. A lot of our kids are home. If they're homeschooling, if they're crisis learning, if they're not in a more traditional school setting anymore, your child needs to be able to, these are my sound bites, they need to be able to pause, picture, and pace. So imagine your child is on either working on an activity, maybe they're doing some schoolwork, maybe they're doing a hands-on activity if you're homeschooling, maybe they're on a Zoom call. If they don't see done, if they don't know where they sit, they can't like pause themselves and get themselves ready to finish. So if they look at a clock, they're like, oh, okay, I've been working for 15 minutes or, oh, I only have 10 more minutes. I can pause. I can picture the end. Now I can get myself like, okay, I'm in it. I can get 10 more minutes out of myself. And now they pace themselves. Your child needs to know where they sit in relation to the rest of their day.
And I remember living by that in brick and mortar school. Man, look at that clock. Okay, 5 more minutes till the next bell rings, or 25 minutes until lunch. And you really do, you know, live and die by that during the school hour.
Because I do. Absolutely. What you're saying is 100% right. That's, I always say that if your child's in a more traditional school setting, trust me, they are looking at that clock on the wall because it helps them see done. It helps them pace themselves to get to that finish line. If you have a child that struggles, I always, is my other thing, and this is a procrastination buster, so I'm going to link that in a little.
Great. Yeah, please.
You want to work time over task. And we're very good about going, why don't you go get like that project, you know, done before dinner? Why don't you work on your math before dinner, right? We don't want to do that. We want to say, why don't you spend 20 minutes? Because again, 20 minutes, I can see 20 minutes. 20 minutes has a beginning, middle, and end. It's way more activating than, wait, well, how long, what does it mean to sit down and do math? How long is that going to take me? What does done look like? And that is very demotivating, very demotivating.
And I think it's interesting when you reference, you can only see the present time on your phone, because I feel like that's so typical of society right now, that we only worry, as especially teenagers, we only worry about what's happening in this moment. It's not about putting something on social media that's going to be there for 20 years, or it's not about I'm making a choice that then affects a consequence. To be able to use time to encourage our children really to not be so egocentric or self-centric, it just gives this great perspective on everything. Like you said, if there's a before now and there's an after now, it's not just about right now.
You 100% read my book, because so the book is broken down into different chapters that pretty much of what goes on behind the scenes of why your child procrastinates, whether it's time management or organization or even motivation. But in the time chapter, we talk a lot about the fact that most, I never want to talk in absolutes, so it's not all students, most students. And again, doesn't have to be a child with ADHD or focusing or learning differences. Just most students live in two worlds. And you said it, they live in the now, like right now. So there's that impulsivity. I'm just going to put this out on social, or I'm only going to focus on what's going on in my world now. And then like way, way over there where they can't see it is the not now. And that's what we call future awareness. And what I loved about what you said is I speak about future awareness in terms of time. Like, what do you have that might be going on tomorrow or a week from now, or even 6 months from now for our older students that you need to focus on? But what I loved how you brought it into this real world of what is your consequence of if you're not future aware that something you do impulsively now can affect you, right? Like, I loved how you brought that layer in, because it's all related. It's all related, mm-hmm. that very much being in the now. But it's actually called future awareness.
I love that. You know, adults do it too. You know, we don't think about the concept of time. I mean, gosh, as we talk, I just think so much about just that classroom clock. It really did regulate everything. And I feel like, and I knew, it's just powerful. So you referenced crisis learning right now, that we're not homeschooling, we're crisis learning. And so that sounded really powerful. Can you, I mean, the word in itself, of course, makes sense, but I'd love to hear you talk more about it.
Well, and it wasn't supposed to be, it's funny. It's something I said and then something I wrote about, and then it kind of became a life of its own. And I'm just going to say it, but when I, you know, the work we do at Order Out of Chaos, we, you know, we have all different learners who come our way. So all different types of learners and all different parents and students whose students are learning in different ways. I always say you can learn in any which way. So we have kids who are in private schools. We have students that are in a more traditional like public school setting. We have kids in hybrids. This is pre-pandemic. And we do a lot of work for the homeschooling population. And I'm going to say it like, and because a lot of those homeschooling parents chose to homeschool because possibly their child might have had learning differences or things that were going on that they felt were better at home, for whatever the reason. But what I love about the theme across all homeschooling parents is it was a significant choice. It was a deliberate choice. It was a thoughtful choice. What is going to work best for our family and therefore our students? And also, most home, now I'm not the barometer on homeschooling, but I know enough to say that homeschooling kids are not always home. They're out in the field. They're learning by doing. They're in co-ops. They're traveling the world. There's so much organicness in there. So when everyone came home because of the pandemic and everyone started calling it homeschooling, I'm like, no, it's not homeschooling. It's crisis learning. It's not even distance learning. We were in a crisis situation. Students didn't want to be home. Parents didn't want to be teachers, nor should they have been. And teachers, by all means, didn't want this to be. They wanted to be in the classroom doing what they love and what they're phenomenally good at. So when everyone was sitting trying so hard to replicate or mimic exactly what was going on in a classroom at home, I'm like, you got to stop. I'm sorry. You might not love me. You might hate me or love me, but I'll tell you the truth. You have to stop. You cannot replicate and mimic it exactly. This is crisis learning. And everyone is just doing the best they can. And once we changed that mindset to crisis learning, it was like, we just took the tenor down in my community anyway.
For sure.
And it resonated with people. The word, right, we are crisis learning right now. It's an unanticipated response to a crisis.
Absolutely. I mean, it was something that we didn't choose.
Right. And so we can control.
Oh, absolutely. What are some top tips for triaging when you're in crisis? You know, you think we're in crisis. It happened to us. We couldn't control it. We didn't cause it, you know, and now we are wounded. We're traumatized. We're having to find this new normal. And so what would be including what something like homework in the bathtub, I think yes. You referenced, you know, yes. I know you probably have so many great tips. What are some triage items for this crisis learning?
I don't sugarcoat anything, but we work with all able learners, but the predominance that we work with are children, with parents, with kids that have maybe learning differences or ADHD. The one silver lining that I feel, all right, maybe there's a few more, but this is the one I want to come up with.
Your favorite one.
My favorite one was that your children, to some degree, had more control and say in how they learned. So for example, if you had a student that could absolutely not sit in math class at 8 a.m. in the morning and just listen to a teacher. Now, again, not disparaging teachers. It's more the way the child learns, not how the teacher teaches. I want to make sure that I say that correctly. Now, all of a sudden, maybe your child is home and everything maybe is asynchronous, which means that they can learn when is best for them. So maybe 8 in the morning isn't right. Maybe starting the day at noon. Maybe math at 8 p.m. Maybe lying on the floor, standing on my head, doing homework all over the house. So it's very hard to stay motivated in one place. Movement helps to lay down learning. That is research proven, as well as it helps us activate it and stay motivated. So the more funky, the more crazy, the more out of the box, that's where I have kids doing homework. So when parents were like, should I buy a desk? I'm like, absolutely not. Put your child in the bathtub. No water. But
okay, that helps.
No water. No.
But yes.
I have to make sure we say that right.
Yes.
But think about it. It's small and it's cozy and it's, for some kids, it's sensory seeking because it's cold. But yeah. I have kids with a pillow and a blanket and they're sitting in that bathtub and they're shooting out math and science. I have kids sitting on top of the toilet. I have kids sitting under the kitchen table. I have kids sitting in a pantry closet. And if you want to get really fun about it, if you have a younger student, you can play a game called hide the homework. Take different subjects and hide them in different places around your house, like the bathtub or on top of the toilet. And where your child finds it is where they have to do it. So it can be homework, it could be classwork, it could be projects, whatever. But we're trying to get this motivation up again, because if your child has been home more than they normally are, it's very depleting motivationally. So we tend to like to motivate by movement.
What are some of your other mood boosters? So motivation and boosting the mood kind of go hand in hand. If you're excited and motivated to learn, you might have a boost in your mood. Now, I'm thinking with so many of your tips and wisdom here, I'm like, how can I incorporate that to my teens? And knowing that a lot of times when mom has a really great idea, like, hey guys, you know how you feel better about schoolwork today? be like, can you talk to toddlers, you know? Like, we don't really need your like hokey songs or your dance parties or whatever you want to do with us. So what do you suggest?
Okay, so you're going to laugh because I have a 22-year-old and I do this for a living. And he was like, really? I'm not one of your students.
Right.
Yes. Pray to God. But you brought up something that was really interesting. So number one, we know that movement is a great motivator. But the second motivator, and this also is music. Music is an amazing motivator. And I get a lot of push and pull from parents. So again, I'm going to put it all out there who say, well, I think it's distracting. And I said, well, for some kids it is. Again, everything I'm saying, as well as you know, it's not a one size fits all.
Okay.
Right? Can we just say that? I hate that, but I have to say it because I know that things are not, and obviously I know more than most because of who I work with, that it's not a one size fits all. However, a lot of students need music to plan, to attend, and to initiate. And music actually does that for the brain. So if you're listening at home or watching this, I want you to think about yourself. Okay, I'm going to call myself out. I hear my disco. I know it's time to start exercising. I am a girl of the 80s. It elicits the response. So how we eliminate the distraction of, I call it the Spotify switch up, is to create playlists. Playlists are great motivators. So here's something very fun and very cool for your teens is go ahead and make a playlist of your fate. Now, here's the fun. We want it to be songs they know. We don't want it to be new music. If their favorite artist just dropped an album, no, because we don't want them straining to learn.
Understand and hear it and learn the lyrics. And yeah.
Right. So we want about a 40-minute playlist of their favorite tunes. And in fact, one of the other fun things that some people have noticed is my son put a compilation of like the best study playlists. They're in the book and you can even stream them from our site. They're on Spotify. It's very cool because we believe in study playlists in our house.
Yeah.
But here's a great thing. What happens with the playlists, not only does your child get motivated when they hear it and elicits that response. I hear this music. I need to get motivated now. But remember what I talked about before with the time, being able to pause, picture, and pace. If your child listens to that same playlist over and over again, what starts to happen is when they hear a certain song. So I'm a big Avett Brothers fan, so I'm just going to say that. So I hear the Avett Brothers. Oh, I'm 20 minutes in. I hear Dawes. I know I'm in the home stretch. Again, it's another time keeper for them. It allows them to know where they sit in time, which is another great motivator. So that's how I get buy-in. You tell a teen they can make a playlist and listen to music. And I know you're going to ask me this, heavy metal to Hamilton and everything in between.
Awesome. Thank you for that.
It's a great motivator.
Yeah.
And so even if you have younger children at home, and everybody, I want to give this tip for in case you have younger students, you know, parents listening. So let's say, for maybe somebody listening says, well, I have two younger kids and I prefer to put them at the table together and, you know, because I can watch better. Then you can do a house playlist. We have families who are doing softer music for like deep work, louder music for maybe like lighter, more fun work. We have older students who make different playlists for different subjects because math might need a little less, you know, right? Whereas maybe science, it's a little more, you know, like uplifting and motivating. Play with the playlists, but they are 100% work for motivation, especially now.
So good. Well, I'm really excited for our listeners to grab your book. I know you had two other books before the one that you currently have. Will you tell me the title of those as well?
Sure. So the one prior to this was called What's the Deal with Teens and Time Management? It had a little bit of both. It was definitely geared to parents to, again, better to understand what this whole time management piece is and why it's so lacking in our kids right now in this generation and what to do. And again, it's written very easy to follow. And then a book I wrote way, way before then, I actually wrote a diabetes organizer with a diabetes expert. I was brought in to talk about the time, how to like manage your time, you know, that whole brain piece of it, organizing, time management, focusing that piece while she did the diabetes piece of it.
That's amazing. Yeah. Time is relevant to everyone.
Time is relevant.
Yeah. And it's so powerful that you can take what you know and what you've learned and your passion that was born out of your own challenges and then apply it to other people's situations, whether it be health planning and diabetes or in different learners. Thanks for sharing all your wisdom. And gosh, these are incredible tips. I feel like I could just pick your brain all day long. But instead, I want people to read your book. And then I also, I'm going to start tuning in. You mentioned that you have an article. It's a weekly Q&A where you share even more. Like you said, it's a,
It's like the Dear Abby. I know I'm dating.
Dear Abby. I like lost the...
Oh, I know. It's okay.
The Abby portion of that.
Right. It's like what they say, like, I give A's to people's Q's. So there is I want to shout it out because it is a great resource and it is a free resource. So there is a national magazine called Attitude, ADD. Attitude. And the magazine is geared to those with ADHD and learning differences. It does not matter whether you have a child with it or you yourself. They bridge both adults, entrepreneurs, students. Right. It's fantastic. Their digital online magazine is free. It is like overwhelmingly chock full of information. I write a weekly column that comes out every Tuesday called Dear ADHD Family Coach. And I bring A's to your Q's about everything that has to do with family dynamics within that space. I love that column because we get questions about why does my child lie? How come my kid can't make a decision? To how do I stop the fighting? To my sister-in-law's a hoarder. And everything
in between.
And everything in between. So again, free resource. They also give webinars on topics about ADHD and learning differences that are free. I mean, I think it's like one of the, it shouldn't be the best kept secret, but in that space, they are bar none.
That's incredible. Thank you for letting us know where we can continue this wisdom.
Yeah.
And speaking of wisdom, can you tell me, 75-year-old Leslie, much older, still young, hip, discoing, exercising, imparting to the world all the goodness. Yes. What would she say to you today and to our listeners?
I think she would say to me two things. You know, it's so funny when you ask that question, why my head goes to the negative and not the positive. I want to be very honest. Like, on one hand, I would love the old Leslie to go, like, look what you built. You've been in business 17 years. Your company is global. You've helped hundreds of thousands of parents. But what I think she really would say to the Leslie now is, was all that worrying worth it? I am a major worrier. Was all that worrying worth it? And maybe you shouldn't have worked to, you know, you should have learned a little bit better how to balance your work and life because, and I'm trying right now, but I work really hard. So I went to the negative, but I think the biggest one would be, it was all that worrying worth it. Could your energy have been used somewhere else?
And isn't that interesting and powerful? Thank you for sharing just such an honest reflection because I think it shows me and it shows all of our listeners that even though you are the time management guru, even you worry about what's happening in time.
Always.
And yes. And so it's just
interesting. I love how you said that. It is powerful. I love how you said that. But yeah, but unfortunately, that's, you know, I went to the negative and I didn't go to the positive because, you know, that is what I think she would say to me. Was all that worrying worth it?
But it also sounds like maybe she's encouraging you to maybe take the worry off just a touch.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm hoping by the time I'm 75, I'm not worried. That's not just all I am
right now. Find other new and exciting things to do. Well, thank you so much for being here today and sharing, gosh, such a plethora of information. I'm excited to.
So thank you so much. That's a compliment. My God, when someone who's interviewing you reads it and then orders it for you, orders it for her family, there's no better compliment than that.
So good. And now I'm off to order 10 clocks, 10 analog clocks for my house.
Yes, you need analogs.
Say people.
Everybody buy analogs. And I don't get anything for saying that. Just buy the analogs.
Well, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. So nice to have been here. Bye, everyone.
Thanks for joining the 18 Summers podcast and putting your family in priority position. Subscribe and leave a review and help other families just like you.